Like to say good afternoon to everyone. We're thankful again to God for giving us this privilege and opportunity to come back online and speak again on behalf of the Lord. If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a VIP audience, and we pray that you will enjoy your study time with us. But most importantly, if you find yourself a guilty distance from God, that you will believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary. Shed his blood and wash his sins away in baptism. The same blood purchases his church, his wife, his bride, the Church of Christ. The only one you ever read about in the Bible, the only one you ever hear me talk about as pertaining to where salvation is. And to the members of the church who are listening to us from different places, well, you're welcome to the highlight services via conference call. We are now back at the building, the AM services, and well, we'll continue afternoon services for now on the conference line. This afternoon, as we continue our study of the book of Ephesians, hopefully you've enjoyed that study. It's a great study, and we're excited about it myself. This afternoon, we're going to chapter 3 this afternoon, and we will entitle this lesson, The Fellowship of the Mystery. And I'm doing it. This is evangelism, Ephesians, more of an evangelistic type book that you can really reach out to teach about the oneness of the church and different things. But I'm trying to do it in a way that helps us see, as members of the church, how blessed we are to know the truth. And so some of you have been in the Church of Christ a long time, you've taken a lot of things for granted, but there are some things that we should be thankful for, that we know the Bible, we know the truth, and we believe that God has provided us that through the Word, and you can have some joy knowing what you're part of and what you've obeyed. So this afternoon, chapter 3, Paul says in verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." For this cause, this is coming out of chapter 2, where he had talked about now that they're in Christ, they had made peace with God through the cross. The Gentiles have been brought nigh to God through the cross of Christ. And now he said, he was telling the Jews this, now he said, "For this cause, for that reason, I, Paul now said, me, myself, I have become the prisoner of Jesus Christ." He's in Rome, in prison at the time he's writing this epistle and this letter. And so that's why he says the prisoner of Jesus Christ, because he'd been preaching Christ for the Gentile. It was a hatred toward the Jews, toward him, on account of his apostleship to the Gentiles, which the reason why he was in prison. We found out in Acts 21, in verse 33, Paul's Bible says there, he said, "Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, demanding who he was and what he had done." What had Paul done? Paul was preaching to the Gentiles. And again, in Acts chapter 28, verse 17, the Bible says there, "And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul, the chief, called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, they said unto him, Men and brethren, do I have committed nothing against the people, or customs of our father, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." So his own imprisonment was about him preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, verse 2, so he says this, "If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to your word." Now, so Paul is telling them, y'all heard about this dispensation or this time period of the grace of God. When you look at dispensation, the time period, you have the patriarchal during the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then you have the Mosaical dispensation of time, where there's a Mosaical law, there's the patriarchal law, and then you get into the Christian time period. It's called the grace of God. Because Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he was grace and truth. Paul said, "It was given to me to you heard." You've heard about this. I have it. Give it to me. Now I'm giving it to you. So that Paul went, you know, he was on the road to Damascus background. Jesus had a work for him to do. And he is now on a mission to preach to the Gentiles. And he's telling the Ephesian Christians how he got this information. Verse 3, he said, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which as I wrote afore in few words." So Paul is now saying, God gave me something that I didn't give to you. During this grace period, there's a mystery that wasn't known. So Paul says, by what God has done is revealed to me a mystery, and I wrote that mystery in words. Paul said he wrote the mystery in words. In Galatians 1 and 12, Paul said, neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus directly told him, the Holy Spirit guided them to the doctrine of Christ, which we know as the New Testament doctrine. That's why it's called the Apostles' Doctrine, or the Doctrine of Christ, because the New Testament is the law of love. And Jesus left his apostles, taught them, and then the Holy Spirit guided them to complete the writing of the New Testament as we have it now. So the mystery, brothers and sisters, that we are part of that mystery that's been revealed to the world. The mystery was revealed by God. A mystery is a truth or a fact or purpose which is hidden until it became, it was secret or hidden until it was revealed. This mystery is coming up. He'll tell us what it was. He said he wrote this mystery in word. Then he says, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Now, this is why in America and the world, most people never read their Bible. They'll take what the pastor said or whatever. But if you want to know what this mystery is, Paul said it's wrote, it's in words, and when you read. So if you want to really know what God has to say, you got to go back to what's wrote, and you read it. Because what's wrote is called revelation. It's been revealed through the apostle. In this case, it's the apostle Paul. So Paul said, if you read, you can understand my knowledge of what I know in the mystery of Christ. Look at it. What is it, Paul? Verse number five. Which in other ages, the dispensation of the periods of time, was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now, notice this, revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. How? By the Spirit. So the Bible, Jesus told them how to deal when the Spirit of truth shall come. He'll guide you to all truth. So the scripture we have was, you know, Apostle Paul and Peter and those guys were guided by the Spirit to write what you and I read in the New Testament. Therefore, there are no mistakes in it. It was revealed by God. Some people say, well, the Bible has errors. Well, no. You got to either believe it. Most people just don't believe what it says, because what it's saying you don't like. He's talking about error. Paul said, if the Holy Spirit guided him, and we know it did, he guided them into all truth. That's what Jesus said. Now, in other days, they didn't know this truth, which the mystery, it was past hidden from men, but now revealed to us by the Spirit. To the old Hebrew prophets, but to the prophets, the prophets in church of China, not to the old, but it was the Old Testament was a New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So it's revealing everything they were prophesying by, like in Daniel 2:44, Micah 4:1, all those, where he was talking about there was going to be something happening in Jerusalem, in Mount Zion. Yeah, and we were talking about it's going to be another law. And that's what we're looking at here, that it was prophesied by, but when it was revealed, it was in the New Testament. That mystery was long hidden, but at last revealed, Paul is now given to the apostle. Here it is, that the Gentile, verse 6, that's you and I now. Here's your joy. Here's how you can start learning why this lesson is important. To understand the fellowship of the mystery, that the Gentile, that's anyone who is non-Jew, should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So how do we become, so he's saying basically the fellow heirs, the Jew and Gentile, will all come into one body. What's the body? Ephesians 1:22, the body of the church. So the mystery was all mankind would partake of the promise of Christ by obeying the gospel in one church. the Gentiles will be fellow heirs, breaking down the wall of partition between the Jews and Gentiles. Jesus came to start a new law, a new way. And now all nations would flow into church. And they would all be members of one church. And that's why today in America, the people don't know this, because it's revealed in the scriptures and they don't read. The majority of people take what the preacher say and they don't read. But it's a hallelujah time. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, when you know the truth. But God don't look at skin color. He's not prejudiced. He's made of all nations in one blood. And all are saved. While we're partakers of the promise that Christ came and would die for sinners. And he would take away the sins of the world. Has been fulfilled. And we believe that gospel, that Jesus died on the cross and was shed his blood and washed our sins away. And we're members of that one church that Jesus died for. The promise of salvation. Jesus says he's coming back to get his bride. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me and my Father's house and many mansions. I'm going to prepare, but I'm coming again. Well, he's coming back to get the children of God, those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're members of fellow heirs of the promises of God through the fellowship that we have as fellow heirs of the same body. Gentiles. Peter told him the truth. In Acts 10:34, Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And meaning that God don't look at none of us, white, black, Hispanic, it don't matter who we are. What God has done, he's made of all nations one blood. So when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he was talking about, he had made it that all could come into fellowship in one church, in the mystery, that Jesus would die. Purchased the one church with his own blood. And then that gospel would have to be preached. In Matthew 20:18, after he got up from the grave, he said, go teach all nations, that is nationalities, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because he knew it fulfilled the mystery that all men could be saved. And we, those of us in the Lord's church that have been students of the Bible, understand that it took the suffering Savior for taking of the cross, shedding blood and being cruelly treated, for us to be a part of this fellowship. Here it is, the Gentiles would be fellow heirs of the same body. Now, Ephesians chapter 5:23. When we get there, Paul starts to talk about the husband and the wife's relationship. And he would say, wives, submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, being the Christ, and the head of the church, and the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be their own husband and everything. The husband love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it, that one church, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, and the innocent thing, but it should hold it and without blame. He says, so all men to love their wives as almighty. He didn't love his wife, loving himself. Well, no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. This cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall join to his wife. They two shall be one flesh. Here's verse 32, what I wanted you to be. This is a great mystery. He was just talking about a husband and his wife. He said, but the mystery is this. I'm talking about Christ and his church. See, the mystery was the church, Christ would have one wife. His wife would be the church. He would die for her. And when he died for the church, he died for his wife. And the mystery is he has but one wife. That's why we can't preach in a church we do. Because it's important for us to know that Jesus paid the price. He gave himself for the church of Christ. And we are in fellowship with him because he gave it all. And because he did, and one day, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to get his bride. In Revelation chapter 21, in verse 9, it said, there came unto me one of the seven angels with the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So the bride is the church. The Lamb is Jesus, and he has a wife. This is a mystery to those who don't know it. And it's a mystery to them because they have not read what's being wrote. So now, we should be thankful that we have access to these promises. Paul said, I am. He said, wherefore I was made a minister, verse 7, Ephesians 3. According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul said, I'm a minister. Minister, make known this mystery. And that's what I am today. To make known this mystery. To teach it without adding to it or taking from it. Without fear or favor. We have to tell the people. The mystery is that all people that will be saved will be saved in one church. And that is the church of Christ. He said, unto me, I am least of all the saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Paul said, I feel the least of all should have this out. He was killing Christians. Unto me who am least and less than least than all saints, God trusted him. He humbled himself on the road to Damascus. Paul saw himself as unworthy. Paul said, I am the least of all the apostles. Paul said, concerning zeal, he persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. 1 Timothy 1:13, he said, before I was a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelievably. Paul understood that he had made a lot of mistakes, but Jesus, on the road to Damascus, had a mission for him. And that mission, Paul now says, was to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. And he did that. So the Bible says 1 Timothy 15:9, you can write that one down. Philippians 3:6, 1 Timothy 1:13. Paul talks about himself, Galatians 2:7-8. He says, in Galatians 2, but contrary wise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. Peter preached to the Jew, Paul preached to the Gentile. But he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in toward me, toward the Gentile. So he saw himself having a great role of carrying this truth to the Gentile. Then he says in verse 9, to make all men see, and this is what I want us to end with this afternoon, is that do we all see what is the mystery, the fellowship of the mystery, which was from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things. We are, brothers and sisters, blessed to know what the fellowship of this mystery is. And I think many of us in the Church of Christ kind of take it for granted. But this is a special thing, to know the truth, to hold to the truth, but most importantly, know that fellowship of this mystery between us and God. And God won't, he's not going to lie. He's not going to change his mind. He cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. For the fellowship with him, that Jews and Gentiles, all nations of men, could be saved through the death of his son. So this mystery is now being revealed in the New Testament. It was here from the beginning. God's purpose was to save all mankind. But Jesus became the Lamb of God. And then he says in verse 10, to the intent, that now the principality of powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. And this is what we need to know, Hallelujah, the intent, that we never forget. We know this mystery. We have a fellowship. But the church, our responsibility as the true church among this world, is to make known the manifold, the variety of wisdom that comes with God to all men through preaching simple gospel sermons, telling them of these basic truths that men and women need to hear. That's written, and it must be read. That's been revealed. Now, God expects us, as members of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, with Christ being our head, we have one body. It's up to us to tell the world about the unsearchable riches of God, about principalities and powers in heavenly places. Got to be made known by us. We have to stand for truth. We have to say the hard things. We have to stand for the Father who gave his only Son, and that Son was brutally murdered, and his Father watched it all happen. Isaiah said he would lead a sheep to the slaughter, and before shearers dumb, he was off open, not his mouth. In chapter 53, Isaiah said that God the Father saw the travail of his own Son, which means that God the Father watched him, spit on him, mocked him. He watched him, drive the nails in his head. Isaiah said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief, and I shall make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. And we got to understand, all this didn't happen by accident. It was a mystery that God would reveal to mankind that Jesus would be bruised. In Isaiah 53:11, he said, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify me. For he shall bear their iniquities. This whole mystery revealed has everything to do with God's plan to send his only Son to die, purchase his church, Matthew 16:18, except on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. Acts 20:28 said, take heed therefore the flock, and the Holy Ghost that made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. It was God the Son who purchased. It's up to us, you all. And we should not apologize as the Church of Christ for telling people about the principalities and powers in heavenly places, about this mystery, that all men will be saved by Jesus Christ in one church. Paul said it was the church's responsibility. And on heights, that's what we need to keep doing. We will deal with a lot of things, but let's never forget the mission of the church is to make known this secret, this mystery, and the teaching. Paul said in verse 11, as a close, according to eternal purpose, was he purpose in Christ Jesus? It was God's purpose, which God had in all the ages proposed, fulfill his mission through Jesus Christ, to whom we have access, boldness and access, with confidence by the faith of him, in whom Paul says, in Jesus, all of us, both Jew and Gentile alike, can come to God boldly. Without this revelation of Christ, we could hardly know of God, of his love, how much he loved us, and people don't understand what Jesus really meant when he said, greater love had no man in this than he would lay down his life for friends. God's love can be abused. When people say, God loved me, yes, he does. God loved you so much that he gave his only son. And his love should be something that draws you to him, to love him back, by being obedient to his son, whom he watched the travail of the sore pain of his soul being crucified on the cross. It should cause you to love him. And when you think of Jesus, it should cause you to love him. Understand that it was him who gave us access to the blood of Jesus, to salvation. And now we can have boldness and access with confidence by our belief, our faith of him. And he did just what the Bible said he did. Verse 13, wherefore Paul says, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Paul said, seeing that I now have revealed this glorious mystery to you, I don't want you to be discouraged. Don't be discouraged by things going on in this world. Just understand, Paul said, look here, the mystery is that we are saved. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus. We know about the church. So don't faint, Hollow Heights. Don't be discouraged about day-to-day problems, things going on, or problems with people at the church. Don't get discouraged by that. Because we're in a fellowship of the mystery. As long as we stay in the blood, walk in the light as he's in the light, will maintain that fellowship, 1 John 1:5-7. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse it up. It's a continuing action. Don't be discouraged, my brothers and sisters. Faint not, Paul told them. At his tribulation, won't them worried about his tribulation. He was suffering as a prisoner. But Paul was saying, nah, don't do that. All suffering is for your glory. It's for your glory. Tribulation all came as a fact that Paul wanted to. The work of the apostle was to preach to those Gentiles, and he suffered as a result of it. And even today, those of us who stand for the truth of the oneness of the gospel, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one church, will never be the popular preachers of the world. It's not going to happen. Neither were the apostles. They all preach. Some of them suffer tremendously as a result of preaching this mystery. So what do you have as a member of the Church of Christ? You have fellowship, a coming together with God. And he wanted all men to see. So I hope you see, as a member of the church, that you have fellowship of this mystery, that we're all the family of God. Because we're in that one body, the church. If you're on a call this evening, you are not a member of the Church of Christ. Oftentimes people would say, well, y'all talk about everybody else or whatever. No. We're just trying to help all men see what the fellowship of the mystery is. That God, through Paul, wrote it in the mystery that the Jews and Gentiles would be fellow heirs of the same church. And that's the reason. And so if you want to be a member of the Church of Christ, understanding through that comes spiritual blessings. We talked about in chapter 1. Spiritual blessing of forgiveness of sin, power of prayer, being heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Eyes of the Lord open to the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. Because we're in fellowship with God through this mystery. If you want to become a Christian, you have to believe the story I've been talking about the last few minutes. How God so loved you, gave his only begotten Son. How his Son came to live among me in about 33 years, thereabout. In the last 24 hours of life, he was a death row inmate at his last supper with his apostles. He left there and went to the garden of Gethsemane and cried, "Let this cup pass, not my will, but your will be done." Stood before Pilate, Sanhedrin court, Theophilus, stood before those different trials at night, six of them. And Pilate said, the governor said, "I found no fault with you." But then he had him scourged and beat, put a crown of thorns on his head, the tree on his back, carried that tree to Calvary, where they would execute him to carry out this mystery. He had to die. And on the cross between the two thieves, he died. And he shed his blood on that cross, that same blood that he died on the cross, that he shed it on the cross, excuse me. The same blood, according to Revelation 1 and 5, wash away your sins. According to Acts 28, that same blood purchased his wife, his bride, the church of Christ. If you're on the call, then you believe that he died on the cross, then do you believe that he was buried in a borrowed tomb? Do you believe that he resurrected that Sunday morning, early on a Sunday morning? He got up with all power. That's why we worship every Sunday. The first day of the week was the day of resurrection. And therefore, when he got up, he gave a command to all of us, this you do, in remembrance of me. He gave a command for us to take the Lord's Supper. He gave the command to be saved by hearing this gospel. He said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15-16. And that's the gospel we've been preaching. If you want to call this evening, and you want to be baptized for remission of your sins, so you have the fellowship of the mystery, be a member of that one church, then you can do that by hitting 5-star on your phone. Or if you're on the call this evening, you need prayer. There are a whole lot of spiritual blessings that come with being a child of God. When you're a child of God, certainly you have the privilege of prayer, spiritual blessings, guidance by the Spirit, forgiveness of sins, chosen generation, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood. Know the mystery of his will. And understand that we all, one day, want to get our inheritance. When we hear him say, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." If you're on the call this evening, we can help you by praying with you, praying for you. We can help you be baptized or to learn more. Hit 5 on your phone as we sing the song of encouragement.